Welcome to the Bitcoin Infinity Show. This is our year in review. So I'm here with none other than the splendiferous Luke DeWolf. How are you today, Luke?
I'm great, Knut. Yes, our year in review. It's a little bit between Christmas and New Year's right now, and I think we'll get this out already next week. So we went through our year just before we started recording here in 2025. I was saying that 2025 felt like it was like 3 years in one, basically.
Yeah, we've been busy.
A lot happened. Yeah.
We've been busy for sure. I counted here 16 separate Bitcoin events during the year. So I think that's a personal high score, if you can call it that. More than one per month.
Well, shall we go through it and I think talk about the highlights of the year and then a little bit about what we have coming up in 2026?
Yes, for me, the year started in Miami, where I was at a friend's house for a New Year's Eve party, and that was all good fun. A lot of too much of everything, but we had a very good time. I was there. I met Hodlonaut there, who I hadn't met in a couple of years. So that was really good to reconnect with him. And we realized we had a secret language, so we could run around at Sailor's Party and speak Scandinavian and say all sorts of weird shit and nobody would understand us. And that was all good fun. Yes, a bit childish perhaps, but we had fun.
Very good. Yes. And well, the funny thing is that was the 100K party, right? I mean, for all the talk of where the price is right now, I still feel like kicking around in the 80s, the 90s, I don't even really care. Like, that's still way higher than it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And 4 years ago is when I went to Sailor's House the first time. And with Daniel Prince, he was also at the 100K party. And we... back then, we used to joke around that this is holy shit, this is really happening, and we sort of memed the whole 100K party into existence. And we were there at 42K for the first time, but now it was the actual 100K party. So yeah, the meme, it's like the living the meme, because this one really came to fruition. It materialized in a way we wouldn't have imagined. So all good fun.
No, it's fantastic. And I mean, I think nothing but optimism, I think, for the year ahead in terms of how that goes. But just funny that you're kicking it off with a 100K party. And then you were on the road quite a bit after that, right?
Yeah, I don't remember. Did we do a lot of it? We did a couple. We postponed the whole academy for a bit, right? Because of all my travels. I think that's what we did.
Exactly. We started that in March. So yeah, I guess maybe we can just quickly say that we kicked off the Bitcoin Infinity Academy, which has been a really fun project.
Yeah, fantastic. So we kicked it off with, we were planning on doing it for a long time, but it got postponed and got postponed for different reasons. But then we finally kicked it off in February, I believe.
March.
All right. So beginning of March, I guess. And with Sovereignty Through Mathematics. So that entire course is on our YouTube channel. And now also the second course on Bitcoin Independence Reimagined is also there because we walked through that entire book too. I don't think the last episode is released yet, is it?
No, it's definitely released.
It released last week or something, right? So we're all done with it.
A couple of weeks ago already.
Time flies. Anyway, the reason we didn't start that until March was that I was in Colombia and El Salvador in like from mid-January until like first week of February. So I was in the area for 3 weeks in the Americas. Bitcoin Medellin was fantastic. Colombia is such a beautiful country, and what a cool town, like or city. 5 million people in the middle of the mountains with perfect weather and just super cool people, super cool place. And we had a whole day of excursions around Colombia, and it's just such a beautiful place. I'd love to come back to Colombia. After that, of course, El Salvador, first time in El Sonte for me, January, and I spent about a week there. I was there with my brother, who also joined us on bass for the Nevermind gig after Plan B Forums in Salvador, which was the big one, of course. I remember going to music stores with Mus and buying guitars, not knowing whether someone else would pay for them in the end or not, but we needed them for the gig. So we got some gear and we played, and they tried to shut us down. So this was at one of the national museums, and the Rockamoto was long. There was a lot of people who came up and did their thing, and it was finally time for Nevermind to do their whole thing, which at this time consisted of me, Samson, my brother, and Mark from the Bitcoin Hotel. We started playing, and we got to like two songs, but after that they shut us down, and they tried to shut us up because the Salvadorian authorities wouldn't let us play after 12 o'clock or after 1 o'clock or whatever it was. But so I got pissed, like, well, what is this bullshit? We haven't played two songs yet. And then they turned off my mic. So I had to scream to the audience, "Are you anarchists or not? You all know the lyrics to this one." And then we played Smells Like Teen Spirit. And it was in true rebel fashion, everyone just jumping around. So a lot of good fun there, and a great conference in general. A very nice hotel, the Sheraton Presidente in San Salvador. Beautiful place. Yeah. And I went back from San Salvador and wouldn't return until November. We'll get to that later. But I'm returning to San Salvador this January. So in about a month, I'll go back to San Salvador for the Plan B conference this year as well.
Fantastic. I was going to say, let's maybe hold your impressions on El Salvador until for the second one, because you have some more experiences since then, slightly more fresh. So let's hold that till the end here. And yeah, so I think after this batch of travels, the Academy was the next thing that we put out, basically. And then just a point of emphasis there, we have now got both of your books, Independence Reimagined and Sovereignty Through Mathematics, are now fully available on Nostr for free. So you can go find them on Nostr. We'll put the links in the description, I'm sure. And basically, it's only there. So information is meant to be free. And now we've got these commentary videos. Basically, if you're not familiar with what the Academy is, it's chapter by chapter through each of Knut's books. And I read them, we commentate on them, and it's all good fun. Learning a lot, and hopefully you, listener, are getting something out of it as well.
Yes, we have a lot of great back and forths there about the ideas in the books, and it's all good fun. And you were keeping busy while I was in Colombia and Medellin. For starters, you have your computer security fiat job, but in the Bitcoin, and you're a father of a toddler, which is not the easiest job in the world either. But you being the tireless workhorse that you are, you also did the Praxeology edit with me. We re-edited the entire Praxeology book. First, I rewrote it and added a couple of chapters, and then we went through it together, and it's now been rewritten and reiterated into perfection, and we released that later here this year. Released it for Prague, I believe. What else did you do? Yeah, you worked for BTC Hell, of course, which is not the easiest thing in the world to organize a Bitcoin conference. So Luke was back in Helsinki with his fantastic team of Bitcoiners there, trying to make the BTC Hell conference happen. And ever throughout the year, we got some new speakers, we got some new ideas for the thing, and that whole thing like chugged along while we were doing the other things.
Yeah, it was a bit of a crazy time, and I mean, that's why the beginning part of the year just feels like a blur. Like, we had we did the Academy, we did Praxeology, which we were wanting to get that out by Prague, I think, and some other things. I mean, it was an existing piece of work, but really we did overhaul it completely. And I mean, I say we, of course, like you're still the author on the masthead and everything. And we didn't do anything like inverse of Clown World. I didn't get a promotion. but it was a lot of fun to re-edit it with you, and I think it turned out to be, the ideas were all there in the first edition, but now it's just fantastic book. And I mean, I would say at this point, if I were wanting to give someone like a primer into the Bitcoin, the monetary Bitcoin mindset, something like that, I would give them Praxeology and I would give them Clown World and tell them to read in that order, basically.
Yes. And yeah, the primer to Austrian economics, that was always the purpose of the Praxeology book, was to make a beginner's level, a condensed version of Mises's human action, basically, to get people to start thinking in terms of subjectivity and praxeology. All good. Also to mention here, and at the end of the show as well, maybe, is that there's a live praxeology course coming 2026 to Lugano. I'll be giving a whole series of lectures there on the book or about the subject, and the website will be up soon. I'll be promoting that whenever it comes. Very happy to do that. And there's a bunch of other things coming related to that too, but we'll get to those later.
Yeah, fantastic. And then since you brought it up, yeah, BTC Hell was chugging along the entire year. Obviously, as it gets closer to the conference time, it started taking up more and more and more of my time. We never actually pinpointed when I stopped appearing in the Bitcoin Infinity show proper. It was sometime in the middle of the year, though, as far as I remember. It was just getting to be too much to be in the episodes, and also editing the episodes and everything. I kept on editing everything. And so that was great. We had a short period of time where we tried out an external editor, but we brought that back to me after a little while. Yeah, BTC Hell really started I've told this story before, but the first conversation about this was when we were on Madeira for Bitcoin Atlantis, and just a conversation with me and Remu, who ended up being the CEO of our, we call it 21 events, Osaka Yhtiö, OY.
Of course you do.
Yeah. No brainer name. I think others have had the name in other jurisdictions and all this, but anyway, no brainer. So yeah, we have this conversation. Why don't we try this in Finland? Could we do this in Helsinki? Absolutely. And so obviously we're talking like 2 years ago, really. I mean, almost 2 years ago at this point, basically. But we kept on bringing together a team, figuring out who was interested in participating. I think we made the decision to actually go in August of 2024.
That was you and me and Remo had a adult people's meeting at Baltic Honey Badger, where we said, like, are we doing this or not? And we decided that, yeah, hell yeah, we're doing the Jukkas Järveissä Peitte Perkele conference here next year.
Exactly. And so since then, it was just, yeah, lots of work. And I mean, the team is fantastic. I think there's four or five of us that we couldn't lose any single one of us, or at least we would have been sorely without needed resources and, you know, chicken with the head cut off and all this. So, you know, contributions from everyone on the team and so many other people in the Finnish community, the Nordics community. And I mean, it was fantastic to have so many great speakers come and support what we're doing out there. So and we're going even bigger next year. So maybe we'll talk a little bit more about like how the conference itself actually went. But yeah, I was busy, especially coming into kind of the 3-4 months leading up to conference time. It's funny, we attend a lot of conferences, obviously, and we tend to see a little bit more of the under the hood perspective than maybe even some other speakers would. We tend to get involved with the organizers and do a little bit extra, mostly through the books, right? Like, for example, in Prague these last few years, we've been involved with the book booth at Prague for various ways. So we sort of know the ins and outs of how the speaker experience is, and we know the ins and outs of how the sponsor and booth experience is, right? But there's nothing comparing to trying to organize one of these things yourself. So I've got immense respect for everyone who puts on a Bitcoin conference, no matter how big, no matter how small, and it's a ton of work. So I empathize a lot, but it's super rewarding. So yeah, it's the thing I'm most proud of doing in Bitcoin. And sorry, Knut. Yeah.
No, but rightfully so. It was a spectacular event. I don't think writing a book is comparable to organizing a conference. Like, of course, organizing a conference is more work
work.
Yeah. But yeah, as the year went on, in March, I continued my travels. I thought maybe San Salvador wasn't too far away. So I went to Sydney for the second time to the fantastic Bitcoin Alive conference. Bitcoin is absolutely alive in Australia. Fantastic trip. Got to see JP's fantastic old technology collection at his apartment. That was a trip in itself. The conference was great. About the same size as the 2 years before. A great little community there. Some people had trouble getting there because of a hurricane up in, where's my?
Probably Brisbane, I think.
Brisbane, yeah. Probably. So, but overall, a fantastic experience. I spent about a week there. Sydney is great. I had this epiphany that staring out at the Pacific Ocean, thinking there's half a planet of water there. And if I turn around and do 180 here, there's a great big metropolitan area with rainbow flags and whatnot here. And then 5 hours flight time of continent full of sand and people who want, oh, and animals who want to kill me. So Australia is a strange place for sure. But yeah, had a great time there. And then we went back and started doing more academy stuff and started planning a bit more for BTC Hell. We then started working on the schedule and all of that. And what happened after that? Oh, yeah.
Well, I think in the run-up, so you also went to the Ireland conference in May, Dublin.
Yeah, nothing
in April. I'm going to try to make it to that one this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to Dublin. It's a great conference. It's going to be even better next year because it's going to be a 4-day conference instead of a 2-day conference. Great. Everything great with it. One of those smaller, cozier things. And we got to see the Guinness Brewery in downtown Dublin. That was interesting, too. I had maybe one or two Guinness too many in Dublin, but all enjoyable. And a very nice event where we were staying in the hotel the event was at. So that's always convenient to have the conference in the same venue that you're staying in. All good. And a lot of great people in Ireland, a lot of people that don't travel that much, but they like Ireland so much, so they stay there. But there is a thriving Bitcoin community there for sure. So we'll see Lara Parr and everyone else there in 2026. Looking forward to seeing that again. And then in June, of course, I went to Lugano for the first time and had the Praxeology guest star lecture, which is just they have during the Plan B Business School, there's around 12 or 15 guest stars lecturers that go to Lugano to give a lecture about this and that. And my job was to talk about Praxeology and Austrian economics. So I did that. And then I went back and then our big travel thing started. Started off with Prague in the middle of June, and we had a lot to do in Prague this year, didn't we, Luke?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we basically ran their book booth, which was interesting. Definitely an interesting choice considering we were so busy with a lot of other things. But I mean, great fun. We'd been involved with the book booths the previous couple of years as well, so nothing totally new. But definitely, it was an interesting challenge, sort of juggling all of the other authors and last minute requests and this and that. And then, of course, in the middle of all of it, we had various speaking and engagements and all this. I was on stage for the first time in Prague, moderating a couple of panels. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, like Prague is fantastic. It's the big conference in Europe, and I certainly intend to go every year just because it's one of those things. I've started to have this kind of thing. Prague and Riga and Lugano are all starting to feel like parts of my life, you know what I mean? Like going every year over 3 years, something like that, it starts to be like, yeah, I know this place, I know that place. Like I know how the public transport works in Prague now, for example, and I know where to walk in Riga to get between the conference venue and the old town and everything the fastest way. And it's just it's nice. It's nice to see Bitcoiners there. And we talk about this traveling circus and this kind of like going to all of these conferences and you see all the same people there and blah blah blah. But it's great. It's always good to kind of be there and represent. I think those of us who are a little more visible in the community and involved with whether it's education or other contributions to Bitcoin on the technical side or whatever it is, it's just good to show up to these things and show people that this is something that is worth considering picking up. And so love Prague, love the Prague conference. And I mean, it's the big one in Europe. I think there's other conferences that are at least try to be similar in size in Europe, but Prague has got something special for sure.
Absolutely. And it's refreshingly free from shitcoiners. I mean, I got to debate Peter Todd. That's one of the things I did in Prague. So, and after Prague, I was there with my family. I brought my family for the first time, thinking of doing that again. And they went back to Sweden. You went to Finland for a short time and then to Canada, I think.
Just to pick up my dog.
Basically. Yeah, to pick up the dog. And I went straight to Naples, which was a side thing between Prague and Calgary. So
Naples, Florida, just for those who might think you meant Italy.
No, I didn't go to Italy. I went to Naples, Florida, and had a great time there with the guys from Cypherpunked, who made a whole series about the Everything Divided by 21 Million book. So if you check them out, the Cypherpunked is the name of the, so Cypherpunk apostrophe D, that's their Twitter name. And the whole series can be found there and on YouTube. Very interesting and very cool place, Naples. Great to meet a lot of Bitcoiners there. I also tried, this was a very busy month. I did an interview at Breedlove's house with Eric Stax on the way over there. And I did an interview with Cedric Jungelmann on the way up to Calgary. He was staying a couple of miles north of Naples. Sarasota? Or what's the name of the place? Saragossa? I don't even remember. Very beautiful, though. And said is always nice. And then I flew up to Calgary, where you were already waiting. And we stayed at your mother-in-law's house. A beautiful experience, a beautiful week in Canada. In Alberta, I should say. The People's Republic of Alberta. A very beautiful place. Calgary is super cool. The Bull Bitcoin people were there. A lot of cool base. There's a lot of based Canadian Bitcoiners, as you know. And we had a great time there.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually my first time back in Calgary for almost 4 years. And so that was quite the thing for me. I mean, it was a combination of being COVID times and we have tons of people, family and everything wanting to visit us in Finland and everything. And it just never happened that I actually got back there. But yeah, it was almost a month back in Calgary since moving to Finland. And so that was quite something. And yeah, it was great that I got to show you my hometown. I'm not born in Calgary, but I've been there since I was 4 years old. So pretty much. I consider myself Albertan through and through, as opposed to Canadian, definitely. And lots of identity issues for sure. I wish Alberta nothing but the best, and I think independence is the right thing for Alberta. Many Bitcoiners in the area also agree with that sentiment. My journey into Bitcoin pretty much started by being disillusioned at the Canadian federal government doing things just to hurt the industries in Alberta and to extract more money from that part of the country and taking it into other places. And definitely that started sowing the seeds for my distrusting government and wondering what the heck was up with this inflation thing and all that. It still took me a few more years to finally figure that out. And then the real irony is that I went and left Canada. I left Alberta, Calgary, before finding out about the fantastic community that's actually there, right? And so I get embedded in this community in Finland and help put on a conference in Helsinki and everything. Meanwhile, there's this established community back where I was before with a lot of awesome people. So Dave Bradley is the guy who puts on the Bitcoin Rodeo every year. That's a fantastic conference. If I'm going back
to
Calgary.
So that's the one
Calgary,
we went to, by the way. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So if I'm going back to Calgary, I think trying to make it around Bitcoin Rodeo is just the thing to do, basically, because Absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. And I had the best steak I ever had in my life, I think. Fucking awesome.
They promised and delivered. I wasn't surprised exactly, but it was a high claim that it would be the best steak you ever had. And they had these, I think they were basically Alberta Wagyu hybrid tenderloins.
Yeah, it's a hybrid between some Angus and Wagyu thing there, and fantastic stuff.
It's definitely the thing that I miss the most here in Finland is the availability and the quality of the beef. Although I will say that since BTC Hell, my beef connection has improved significantly. One of the best things to come out of BTC Hell was the orange pilling and emergence of the proprietor of Kotitila, which Home Space is a decent translation for that, but he's a butcher, and they produce all of these what is called nose to tail, like use the entire cow, so they've got all of the cool organs and stuff like that. But just great grass-fed beef, 100% local. From farms throughout Finland. And I mean, that's one of the things I like about here is that you can get a local version of everything. It might cost a little bit more, but it already costs a fair bit anyway. And so, I mean, I won't say 100% that the beef I'm getting here now is on the same level as Alberta beef, but it's at least close enough that I don't know the difference except when I'm in Alberta again. So that was pretty cool. And they have these Bitcoin beef bits, which is just awesome. It's this dried beef snack that's dried with Bitcoin miners. And honestly, it's just beef and salt, like 93 grams of protein per 100
grams. What else do you need?
Like it's fantastic. It's fantastic. And it's just, I don't know. It's just these little things that would never have happened if you don't connect with people and get it all together, right? Like Christos was contacted by Juho like 3 weeks before BTC Hell, and they pulled it all together to create this product in 3 weeks.
Yeah, fantastic.
So just all this cool stuff. But yeah, it was nice to bring you over to Calgary, and I felt like I didn't really get a real vacation at all in my 3 or so weeks there, 3.5, because it was the one Bitcoin conference, all of this preparation work for BTC Hell. I had to send all of these emails and make sure everyone was good for their hotel bookings and this and that. And I had to do that in between, you know, spending time with the family, which is what I was supposed to be doing. And the first time back in 4 years is like, and trying to see everyone you want to in the span of 3 weeks. It just, yeah.
So
that was
so
quite the time. It was a vacation that was not a vacation for sure.
So out of 100%, how many percent Canadian, Albertan, Scandinavian, and Finn are you?
Like 80 what? Finn, 20 Albertan. That's it.
All right. So not Scandinavian, not Canadian.
Mm-mm, no.
Well, that's great.
Well, Finland isn't in Scandinavia. It's in the Nordics.
Oh, well, in the Nordic then. Yeah.
No.
Finland is definitely in Scandinavia. It's actually a part of Sweden. Like I don't buy those fucking borders. They're
something,
an afterthought.
Something like that. No. But I identify more with Finland, and I appreciate living here very much. People accept me for who I am. So I know I'm not from here originally, and I'm not I don't pass for a native speaker usually, but
almost.
Almost. And I love it here. Plan to stay. They would take the world really falling apart to get us to leave, I think. So I identify more with Finland at this point, but I identify more as maybe a Bitcoiner and like a citizen of the world who just happens to get to live in Finland.
Yeah, and it didn't take the world to get me to come to Finland because we're missing one thing. I went to Helsinki in like May, beginning of June, right? I don't even remember when.
Yeah, we had a little party, and you were able to make it over for the weekend. It was awesome.
It was awesome. It was the first time I got to see the pop-up store and everything. So like, there's so much happening. It's just ridiculous.
We got to practice our set for Prague, which didn't end up even happening, which was hilarious.
No. Yeah. Yeah, thank God I didn't have to do a fucking Rokamoto there.
And I mean,
too much of the other stuff.
It was just cool. We got to go see the little practice space that me and Marty have that, play rock and metal together.
Yeah, it's always great seeing Marty and the other Finnish community too, for that matter. It's a base bunch, for sure.
You got to see our pop-up store, which has turned into not, it's not really a pop-up anymore. We're kind of permanently there. And it's turned into more of like a co-working space now. Very nice to have it. There's a orange glowing light on this thoroughfare into Helsinki. And now that I didn't used to have a car, but now I drive more. And yeah, this is like one of the main ways into the city from various angles. And you can't miss it. You can't miss the
follow
big,
the orange sign glowing light. That's all you gotta do.
Yeah, so that was really cool.
Yes. After Naples, I went to Sweden. And stayed, as I usually do, stayed in Sweden over the summer. You stayed in Alberta for a while and came back like a month after me, I think. This was a very necessary break for us, I think. We had a little break between Sovereignty Through Mathematics and Independence Reimagined for the Academy that summer. We had done most of the interviews back in May, I think, and June. So we had a long backlog during the summer. It's hard for us to record properly during the summer. I mean, I don't have my office/studio thing here. It's a bit harder to do these things on the fly. But yeah, after some time in Sweden, I had to leave again for Lugano for the business school week, which is 21 top students for that online course during the rest of the year get to go to Lugano and stay for a week and see a lot of guest lectures. I held two lectures there and a lot of other great people, Preston Pish, Alan Farrington, Efrat Fenningson, and a bunch of other, Max Kaiden, a bunch of good people there. And we had a great time, as we always do in Lugano. After that, I went back to Sweden again. You were still in Canada, I think.
I came back in, I think,
same
by July I was back. Yeah, or sometime in the middle of July or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got to bring my son and my wife to Lugano, and that was great too. We went on excursions up the mountains next to it, and yeah, it's a beautiful place. Absolutely. Lugano is stunning, as always. And after that, of course, after some time back in Sweden, and for you in Finland, we went to Baltic Honey Badger, where we did have an impromptu rockamoto. That was fun. We were in some industrial area of this Baltic country. Always fun. And Mas had organized the whole thing in this cool disco/nightclub/rock venue thing. We had a very small stage and a drummer that just showed up, and I don't think we've ever done such a masturbatory gig, but it was all good fun. Crammed little room. We were sweaty as fuck afterwards, but all good fun. And Baltic Honey Badger was great as usual.
They're supposedly skipping a year. That's at least what we've been told, but I'd never believe them until it actually happens. No. I mean, Riga's fantastic. I mean, Riga is huge for both of us for lots of different reasons. You, because that was your coming out into the Bitcoin world back in 2019, right? But it also was mine. That was my first conference in 2022. And
it brings back a lot of memories. It's a great conference. Great people, great side events, great everything. And I got to see you shit-faced on Absinthe. That was also a fun experience.
Yeah, thanks, Anna and Marcy, for teeing me up for that one. I didn't know exactly what I was getting into, but they do a thing where they pick a few lucky people to get absolutely wasted and have some fun. That's one of the only parts of that conference that isn't recorded. Actually, they don't record the cypherpunk stage, I think they call it either. But
privacy stage, yeah.
Privacy, yeah. I mean, these guys are just fantastic, though, in terms of like tons of great work on privacy development. It's one of those conferences where it's just kind of it's pure signal 100%, and
it's the OG's OG conference. It's fantastic, and we always have a good time. And also, this was sort of the warm up to BTC Hell. We could afford to let loose a bit more in Riga, I guess, before the big one, which was of course Helsinki. And we had about 5 days before the conference started, or 4 days maybe. Busy days, though.
Yeah. Well, and I think that the certain thing with Honey Badgers, it was coincidental that they put the date for Honey Badger a week before BTC Hell. BTC Hell selected, we selected our date specifically to try to avoid the dates that Baltic Honey Badger has been in the past, right? But then they go in and pick the week before, which was like a month earlier than they'd ever done before. But it worked out fantastically because there were, I think there were 30 or 40 speakers that did both conferences. And so it made total sense to just
And a whole bunch there. Of attendees too that just decided on the spot in Riga to just, why not come to Helsinki next week?
Yeah, exactly. If you weren't doing anything already, you're in the neighborhood. It's like a 45-minute flight from Riga to Helsinki, so it's great. I know a bunch of people even who went up through Estonia and took a ferry and all this, which is a quintessential Finnish experience. It's something I recommend. I do it for fun, a few times a year, the trip to Estonia and back. But By a certain point, a lot of things are already in motion. It's kind of like with 2 weeks left, there isn't a lot to do anymore if you've really been on it, right? It's just that the event has to happen now. And that's, of course, a ton of work, but there's also not anything you can really do about it either. You just have to let the final tickets roll in and, be ready to help out any last details. We had a great time. I mean, the conference itself, it went off without any major issues for sure. The venue was fantastic. The weather was great the whole time. So, yeah, I don't know. BTC Hell, man.
No, BTC Hell was absolutely awesome. And we did probably the best Rockamoto gig we ever did with actual proper musicians in it.
Yeah, and then so and we're not gonna do it like that next time. But definitely we had a great time. Like, for example, the Higher Low, if you've ever seen him around at the conferences, he usually plays with just an acoustic guitar, but he's from Finland and has a band here. And so he came with his band, and we had a cover band that a friend of mine is the singer for, and they played a couple of sets, and we had a couple of sets of our various bands, Nevermind in partial form as well. And it was a lot of fun, but it was a bit much, the Rockamoto. I think next year we do it a little differently.
Yeah, I mean, the real gig that people shouldn't have missed is you and I singing one song each at the karaoke bar in the middle of the night, like the day after the conference.
Yeah, that was an experience. Took you to like the tiniest hole in the wall karaoke bar, the first place that I did Finnish karaoke. And I mean, Finnish people love their karaoke. Yeah, we had a delightful time to kind of end off the week. And yeah, so many great people coming to Finland, seeing what we're doing. There's already been a lot coming out afterwards. Like Helsinki, Finland. Finland is really a hotbed for Bitcoin mining. Like, really, it's the place in Europe that just has a ton of Bitcoin mining projects coming on all the time. And mostly because the heat reuse use case. There's these district heating systems in virtually every municipality in Finland, and they need heat. They need to make heat somehow, and usually they just burn stuff for their heat, but you can just use Bitcoin miners instead. And there's just a lot of exciting stuff going on, and a lot of great work going on with mining and all this. Very exciting. And next year we're aiming for a bit of a bigger crowd. We can't be in the same venue because they just didn't have dates that worked for us anymore. But we're in a slightly bigger place. Like, in my view, it's the venue that I always wanted us to be in. It's this cable factory, it's called, and it's right on the sea. And it's just this fantastic old industrial building, and it's great for conferences. I've been in a bunch of events there, and it's a lot of fun. We're gonna have a great time, and really just looking to continue the momentum and growing the adoption in Finland and the Nordics. We have a big presence from Scandinavia, from the Scandinavian countries, Scandinavian speakers. I think we'll even do at least a half day of Scandinavian language content, Swedish and Norwegian, Danish, probably not because no one can understand Danish, not even the Danes, but Swedish and Norwegian, I think, is acceptable.
Yeah, men hvis du forstår svensk og norsk, så forstår du godt dansk også, vel? Det skal nok ikke være noget problem nu.
Right, something like that. Yes. You know, after August, I mean, I sort of said that it felt like three separate years. I kind of, up until when we finished the Praxeology book and the first Academy, that felt like one little era. Then it was focusing on BTC Hell for me, and you know, all of these conferences and all this craziness. And then September and onwards, it's been a little calmer, but also getting stuff done, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We had one more run of European tour thingy. I went to Sofia, Prague, and Lugano. You went to Sofia and Lugano. You skipped Prague in between. So Sofia, Bulgaria, my second time and your first time at the Bulgarian Bitcoin Conference, a great conference. A lot of cool people, cool venue, great food in Bulgaria. I always like coming there. And we got to see their new Bitcoin hub thingy. Cool place. Absolutely great. After that, I did a small trip to Prague to see the Trezor premiered their new hardware wallet with a new secure element and all of that. And that was all good fun. A great event, laser shows and whatnot. And I have a ton of friends in Prague and I got to see them and hang out. And that was all very well and good and cool. And then we went to Lugano for the Plan B Forum, where we signed books and played rock and roll and spoke and moderated panels on during the event. I was on a panel with Saifedean and Rahim about Austrian economics. That was very all good fun. And then we did the Rockamoto gig, which was great. We had the final lineup of Nevermind, which is you, me, Samson, and Marty Malmi on drums. We did a little rehearsal thing in the park outside the venue in the middle of the day. And that was good fun. And then had a great gig. Like the mayor of Lugano is our biggest fan, and he introduced us this year. And he was also in the mosh pit, as usual, doing his thing. It was about 2,000 people in the tent. It was all good fun. And after the gig, I promised myself to be a good boy and go to bed. So I went to bed around 12:30 or something, or one-ish, because we had to do a live Bitcoin Infinity Academy about the one-shot principle at 8:00 in the morning the day after. So I went to bed, but I couldn't fall asleep until like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning because of all the adrenaline from the show, so it didn't matter. But we got up and we did the thing on a side stage there in the tent, and then I think our responsibilities ended somewhere around there. I did an interview with Nico, Simply Bitcoin as well. What else did we do in Lugano that time around?
No, that was pretty comprehensive, but yeah.
Celebrate my birthday.
Absolutely, exactly. A nice nice dinner to cap it all off. Yeah, Lugano was great. This time I brought my family on the whole trip, so we went to Bulgaria, and then we just stayed a little longer in Bulgaria and took a slower route to Lugano than your hop over in Prague. But always great to get to travel to new places, and Lugano had fantastic weather for the first time. The Plan B Forum has had crap weather the 2 years previously, but it was just sunny and really fantastic out. Love Lugano, love everything going on there, love Switzerland, love getting back there whenever possible. And I think at least the Plan B Forum, you'll be able to catch us there, no doubt about it.
Yeah, next opportunity is, of course, to see me is the Plan B Forum San Salvador, as we mentioned before. Speaking of, I did one final conference before I was done. Oh no, two conferences actually, in San Salvador, the first one being the Fantastic Bitcoin Historico, which was the presidential conference in the actual presidential National Palace of San Salvador, the most beautiful venue I've ever been to, like by far. An actual palace and a great conference. They had all the talks translated into Spanish on great big screens outside of the palace, and there's a big public party going on outside at Centro Histórico in San Salvador. Also, after that, just the 2 days, so Histórico went on for 2 days, and the 2 days after that, there was the lovely Adopting Bitcoin conference, which is much more grassroots. I love the vibe there. It's a lot, a very merchanty vibe. A lot of booths selling coffee and steak and t-shirts and whatnot. All very good. I had a lot of good conversations there. I think I did 8 interviews or something in total in San Salvador, and plus 2 pods. I was in the national paper twice. So it was a weird week with a lot of stuff. And I had a gig in playing acoustic guitar in El Santa. So that was all good fun too.
And what's your general impression of El Salvador these days?
Fantastic. It's there's just an interview out now where I talked to Mike Peterson about this, if you see the Live from Bitcoin Beach pod. And so much has happened since January, like just in these 7 months or whatever it is between, or 8 months between my first visit and my second visit, there's a whole ton of construction going on. The road down to El Santa is much better already. Centro Histórico looks better than the first time around, a lot better. So there's a ton of stuff happening in El Salvador, and it truly is Bitcoin country. I guess the whole top-down thing with Chivo Wallet and whatnot, when Bukele was talked about Bitcoin the first time around, it didn't really take off with the El Salvadorians because it was top-down, because they have good reason to not trust the government given their history. But now it feels like the grassroots movements are like blooming everywhere in, you know, El Santa and Berlin and Punta Mango and San Salvador. There's Bitcoin communities all over the country now, and there's a lot of things happening. I could go to the most remote village and pay for stuff in Bitcoin in the most weirdest of places. So I absolutely adore El Salvador. I urge everyone to go there and see it for themselves. Come with no expectations, good or bad. Just take it for what it is. This is a country that used to be a shithole and is now one of the best, my favorite places on earth in just half a decade. It's truly remarkable what's happened there. And a big thank you to Mr. President Nayib Bukele for having me over for dinner. That was an experience for sure. Fantastic time with a bunch of other Bitcoiners there. So that was a good, final thing for my weird Bitcoin year here. Fantastic year in total, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, I've got a huge FOMO for El Salvador. It's awesome. I really want to get over there.
You will one day.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long flight. Well, and I think to cap off the year, the last couple of months have been very interesting. We've kind of gotten a little bit into the fork wars or the spam wars a little bit. I think we've always been on kind of the forefront of the monetary maximalist spam isn't good kind of thing, but that's come to a bit of a head since October with the release of Core V30. And well, I think both of us have just been figuring this whole thing out in our own way a little bit. I personally was a little bit made some posts on Twitter that got a lot of attention, talking about the couple of fork proposals and the reasons why I like them, even if I'm not really going all the way to the point of saying that I think we should put them in there. For example, something that would be a clear repudiation of spam, that those things are not good and that the network could reject them. That's what I like about them. Well, I think it's not that it's calmed down a little bit. This is definitely a pressing issue, and I think over the course of 2026, both of these fork proposals are moving towards potential activation, and they are forks. Like they're soft forks. They are forks. It's not wrong to call them a fork, but chain split is, I think, the thing that I personally want to avoid. I don't want there to be any kind of monetary maximalist Bitcoin and then a spam Bitcoin and see which one wins, Bitcoin Cash style. I don't think that would be good for the network. But what do you think, Knut?
I said that depends entirely on what side that wins. But still, I would prefer it if everyone saw Bitcoin as money, and I would prefer it if people didn't do stupid shit on Bitcoin. We've been playing, like, we've been sitting on different shares here, Luke. Like, we both have had part in the discussions and taking very active roles promoting a certain point of view. But we've also tried to be, mediators in a way, especially with the show. I feel like, I've interviewed Mechanic and I've interviewed Merch. I've interviewed Adam Back and I've interviewed a lot of people. Who was I thinking of? Chris Guida. So we've had people from both sides, if you can even call it that, on, and trying to get a more nuanced perspective while also not compromising our core beliefs. I mean, I am not first and foremost a podcaster. I didn't come into Bitcoin as a podcaster. I've figured out that I like doing that later on. And being a podcaster and an interviewer is a completely different game than being an author, where you just ramble your own pleb slop opinions to people. Whereas if you're doing interviews, you sort of have to be more diplomatic and listen to different ideas. And I think both things are needed. I intend to keep doing both and try to be I'm still gonna value my integrity higher than anything else. That's, I think, why we thought we had a market fit here. We wanted lighthearted honesty in the Bitcoin space. I think it's rare, and I think that's what we're providing, and I think we do a good job at it, and I intend to keep doing that, and I hope that people see that that's what we're trying to do. So yeah. Also, we wrapped up Independence Reimagined. That can be mentioned too. That's another thing we capped off the year with.
Yes, absolutely. No, I think what some people don't understand is that you can never please everyone, right? That's kind of what audience capture looks like. If you really are going for only one specific audience, and there's always going to be people on any side of the spectrum who are going to get pissed off and not like what you did. But I think especially the Merch interview, just letting him tell his view of things, there's a point to that, right? And then if someone wants to respond or rebut, there was a talk or an invitation of doing like a debate style thing. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think the thing there too is that, like, I was very careful the entire time to just stick to the facts, my perspective on things. I was open to corrections, especially on the technical side of things. Like, I'm a technical person. I have a computer science degree, all of this, right? But yeah, I mean the entire thing is that Bitcoin is complicated, and I haven't been neck deep in the code the entire time. It's inspired me. This whole interaction has inspired me to get better at the technical side of Bitcoin and understand it better and all this. I ended up doing a code challenge over the last month or so here. That was quite interesting. It was an entertaining little story. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's references to Craig Wright and taking through a whole bunch of scenarios, like playing around with Bitcoin script and how Lightning works and things like that. So it was interesting, and I definitely have tons of respect for the Bitcoin developers, people who are working on Bitcoin on a technical level, and I want to understand that better, and I want to both marry the perspective of being a monetary maximalist and being a technically sound and correct individual in the space also. And I think it's been my observation that this is the primary disconnect here, is that people coming from the kind of the more technical lean on Bitcoin, they value things in Bitcoin differently than those who are coming at it from the money side of the perspective. And we're definitely on the money side of the equation here, 100%. But acknowledging what is technically possible and able to happen in Bitcoin is also important too. So yeah, that's what I've been focusing on lately, and I've found some sort of synergies with my own fiat job, like the parallels to how my cybersecurity day job has really informed my opinions on Bitcoin and my view of things, and I've started exploring that more, and I've had a few posts on the topic, and I think I'm going to continue to talk about this more and more and more. And so I think that's going to be one of my focuses of 2026, is really exploring that angle. That's important.
Yeah, I'm excited for whatever comes out of that. It's like a perfect match. Yeah, I mean, if there's any point that I'd like to repeat about this whole debate that's been going on this year is that I think people should be happy that it's happening. That every Bitcoiner should be happy that this war, if you want to call it that, is going on, because that is good for Bitcoin. A lot of people have done the same thing you've done, which is go deeper down the rabbit hole and deeper down both the praxeological and the computer science aspects of it, and understanding more and running their own nodes, choosing what code to run and what code not to run. Everyone should be happy that that is happening, because that's the whole purpose of Bitcoin. We are the network, and we decide what it is and what it's supposed to be. So on the whole, I'm happy that this whole thing is happening. Complacency is, in my view, the only real threat to Bitcoin. So yeah, there's that. Anyway, we have a ton of stuff coming up next year. Maybe we should briefly go through that before. This was sort of 2025. I think this sort of wraps this thing up. Also, huge thank you to all of our sponsors, all of our guests on the show. We've had a whole bunch of great guests. We had a very good fall, a lot of great guests, and we have a lot of great ones lined up for next year as well. So really looking forward to keep chugging along with the Bitcoin Infinity show. Next year, well, let's start there. You might take a little part of the Bitcoin Infinity show again, like Luke, and not stay completely out of it as you have for the last 6 months.
Yeah, I've missed it for sure. It's nice to get to talk to people and explore things and different perspectives and all this. And so, yeah, we've 100% agreed that this is one way to do it. It's hard to get our schedules to match up exactly, and so I think it keeps us flexible to do this. But yeah, I think I'm going to, one or two interviews a month, maybe. I don't think these will be extra. I think we'll just fit this into the schedule, but who knows? We'll see how much we both enjoy doing episodes and how it fits with our bandwidth. So it's all good.
Yeah, and I think in the past when we did them together, it's sort of like I'm David Letterman and you're the what's he called, the piano guy. so you haven't sort of taken a bigger role. And I think going forward, maybe the episodes that you do join, you will definitely be in them more. Then there are the ones where there's only me. I mean, you're still the producer and the brains behind this whole operation. You're the one with the scissors cutting out all the that I'm doing right now, for instance. So looking forward to doing that. We've decided to do up until episode 210. And after episode 210, we'll make some sort of decision to where the Bitcoin Infinity show is going in the future. We've given ourselves some time. We're very undecided of what it turns into, if we just keep chugging along as we have, or if it turns into something else. We'll see at episode 210. It's time to evaluate the whole thing. There's two academies coming up in 2026. The first one is, of course, Everything Divided by 21 Million, my most famous book. We're going through that chapter by chapter in the academy. That'll be a big thing for sure. We'll have a lot of fun with that. And after that, at some time, I think in August or something like that, we'll start Bitcoin, the Inverse of Clown World, which is the book we wrote together. So that really excited for that one as well. The Academy has a great year coming up. And we're also due to go to a bunch of Bitcoin events, aren't we, Luke?
Yeah, I think the ones we're confirmed for are Ireland, Prague, Lugano. At this point, BTC Hell again will be happening September 25th and 26th. So a little later than last year, but bigger venue and et cetera. So the timing should be good. We'll see which other ones we end up at.
Yeah, first of all, of course, Plan B Forum San Salvador for me, then Dublin, and after Dublin, maybe we'll go to Bedford. We'll see. We'll see if we hear anything from them. There's the Madrid one in May, Mad Bitcoins. I'm definitely going to that one. It's going to be super cool. By the way, Bitcoin Inverso del Mundo Payaso, the Spanish translation of the Inverse of Clown World, is just coming out. It's done, and we are to just press the buttons, I think, and then it'll be out if it's not out already. So that is coming. I'm bringing some of that to San Salvador to begin with, bringing some of that to Madrid. There's all already and everything divided in Spanish. We'll keep working on the translations in the background here. What else? Yeah, I hear that there's an Infinity Day party in Prospera again on Roatan, the island outside of Honduras, the free private city there. There was an Infinity Day party last year or this year there. I might be going there. Haven't decided yet. Pretty cool. I mean, comment below how you're going to celebrate Bitcoin Infinity Day this year. I always love to see those, of course. So those are the big ones for, of course, the Praxeology course in Lugano here in May or June or whenever that'll be. That's going to be great too. And I'll be there this summer for the business school as well.
So basically, we're going to keep busy, maybe not quite to the same pace or level of innovation as last year, but you know, we'll surprise ourselves. Who knows what could come up out of the horizon here. So very much looking forward, and looking forward to continuing to contribute to Bitcoin, and let's see where everything goes in 2026. 2025 was awesome, absolutely insane, lots of better than I could have imagined. So love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I might record some music in 2026. I've been saying that for a while now, but I have enough material to do something with it. Long-term project. And there might be other things up our sleeves as well. If we had sleeves. I mean, wearing t-shirts.
Yep. I think maybe it's a good time to just shout out our current sponsors who very graciously help us to put this on. What do you think, Knut?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we could start by mentioning BitVault, that signed up with us in Lugano this summer, a very cool Swiss company that does a time lock / multisig Bitcoin security solution. So BitVault, what is it now? CH? Do you remember?
SV.
BitVault.sv. Sorry about that. BitVault.sv. You can use code Infinity for a discount and sign up for their super cool Bitcoin hardcore security solution.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, this is of course one aspect of, you know, the security stack that I think Bitcoiners don't talk about enough. They use time locking and other interesting things to basically mean that if you get $5 wrench attacked, you can appear to have sent your Bitcoin, but you actually can still get it back, which would be very, very nice. And great to have them on board. And I think what they're rolling out is basically their subscription. It's a service because they do have some interaction with management, and this is of course always a trade-off, right? How much do you want a third-party company involved in your personal Bitcoin stack? But it's definitely a fantastic option if you want to increase your level of security, especially against physical attacks. And I think they dovetail nicely with the Bitcoin Advisor, who is all about Bitcoin inheritance planning and secure multi-sig solutions, managed multi-sig solutions. They're from Australia, although there are advisors from all over the world who can help you get set up with what they're doing. And basically they help you to set up a managed multi-sig, which has tons of uses. But basically, if you lose one of your keys, they can help you securely move your Bitcoins to a new multi-sig wallet and all this. And inheritance is one of the major use cases for that, is that they can help your loved ones in an inherited situation. So kind of two sides to the coin here, basically, BitVault and Bitcoin Advisor.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked a lot about Plan B already, but they're also great, of course, where they have their business school and their developer school are now sort of merged together. So the courses, there's a mixed course where you can get both the business knowledge and the developer knowledge at the same time. So check out planb.network for more and find all the courses there.
Fantastic. And then the latest one we brought on board was Club Orange, timed in line for their rebrand. So why don't you say a little bit more about Club Orange, Knut?
Yeah, Club Orange is sort of a we've had them on board before, and we're tightening the collaboration a bit. This is formerly known as Orange Pill app, where you can find other Bitcoiners in real life through this app. So it's not a social media app because it doesn't have a feed, but it has a lot of other features. Nowadays, it comes with a built-in Lightning wallet, which has some cool new features not existent anywhere else, to my knowledge. You can geo-sap, for instance, which is when you sap every Bitcoiner in a certain area of the world. You can sap the entire world if you want to. I saw someone sap Spain the other day for with some ad for the Bitcoin Madrid conference, Mad Bitcoins, just 21 sats to everyone, and you can attach a little message to these things. It also has an integration with BTCMap.org, one of our other favorite projects, so you can find Bitcoin retailers and Bitcoin people around the world. You can also share your location if you want to. It's optional. And see how far away other Bitcoiners are. There's no exact positioning, of course, for security reasons, but you can find Bitcoiners near to you. Bunch of cool stuff in Club Orange, absolutely. The events thing is great nowadays, too.
Fantastic. And last but not least, of course, is our long-term partner, Bitbox. And the Bitbox 02 Nova Edition is their latest hardware wallet. And Bitbox is just super easy to use. Your grandma can figure out the interface is one of the things. I forget if they like to say it or just we like to say it. But easy to use interface, works with pretty much every other wallet out there. And so I think for our audience, it's easiest to recommend as a gift for those who you want to orange pill. But if you need another hardware wallet for any reason, Bitbox is great to look that up. They've also got a few other things on their website, some other accessories, steel plates, and a few other things that work with the Bitbox. And of course, it's the Bitcoin only firmware that we recommend, and it's the only one that we recommend. So check that out at bitbox.swiss/infinity.
Yep. Do we have any more sponsors to mention?
No.
Not at the moment?
No. But great to have them on board, and thanks for the support, and thanks to you for the support. The other thing I think to mention is that you can on Fountain now, you can subscribe to the show and get all of our episodes one day early, ad free, and it's $5 a month. They still are fiat denominated only; otherwise, we would have made it a Bitcoin denomination. You can also purchase individual episodes, the ad free version, for $1 each. So feel free to do that. It's all Lightning enabled and all this. Happy to be using the value for value rails. So check that out. If you like, listen on Fountain and support us with value for value if you like. And of course, you can always go to the BitcoinInfinityStore.com and check out everything that we've got. You can buy it for sats. You can, of course, get our books on Amazon also. But, if you want to support us with sats, spend your sats, you can do it from BitcoinInfinityStore.com. Anything else, Knut?
Yeah, I mean, it's denominated in fiat, but you pay in sats, so just to make that clear. You can also go to our Geyser fund, geyser.fund/project/infinity, where you can support our academy efforts directly. There's a bunch of other perks to that as well. So that's coming. There's a bunch of collaborations with a bunch of other Bitcoiners coming in 2026. Yeah, we said sponsors before. I prefer to frame it as collaborations because this is really what we're trying to do. We're trying to live the whole notion of Bitcoiners being incentivized to help one another with whatever we're doing. So we're just building these connections, and I think you should too. Everyone should get to know other Bitcoiners. It's a great experience. So, I mean, do we have anything to add to that, Luke?
No, I think this has been a good look back at 2025 and look forward to 2026.
Yeah, so comment below who you want to see on the show next year. If there's anything you want us to do or bring up in the academy or whatever you want, basically like, subscribe, and brush your teeth. So with that said, this has been the Bitcoin Infinity Show. Happy New Year's, everyone, and see you next year.
See you next year.